This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Rappaport to the rescue with award-winning animal advocate, best-selling author, journalist, and pet products creator, Jill Rappaport.
Welcome to Rappaport to the Rescue. I'm Jill Rappaport. My guest today is Dahlia McPhee. Now, Dahlia is the founder of Dahlia McPhee clothing brand, and Entertainment Tonight has called this brand couture with a conscience. She's been featured in Vogue, Allure, Marie Claire, and each season, her focus is making beautiful pieces at affordable prices for women of all sizes. Gotta love that. And the reason I couldn't wait to get her on the show is she is such an incredible animal advocate, an accomplished equestrian who is also part of this incredible campaign that I am involved with every year called Seen Through Horses, a nationwide fundraising effort that really makes a huge difference. And wait until you hear what she has designed for horses. She's really amazing, and her work is influenced by the motto, changing the world one gown at a time. Designer Dahlia McPhee, when we come back.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Rappaport to the Rescue. I'm Jill Rappaport, and certainly one of the greatest gifts that Vancouver has given us are the designs of this amazing woman, Dahlia McPhee. And Dahlia, I'm so happy that you're joining us today. You have done such incredible work in your career. And what I love most about your beautiful fashions is affordable for women of all ages and really can appeal to anybody of any lifestyle.
Hi, thank you for having me, by the way. I love what you do.
Oh, thank you so much.
It means a lot to take the time out today and chat.
Well, you are so creative. And when I heard about you and I started reading about you, you're so much more than just a designer creating amazing fashion. That is one skill and one talent in itself, but you take it to a whole different level, Dahlia.
Well, creation is creation. It's all the same, you know, as far as I'm concerned.
I was cracking up reading your bio because you started out as a young child thinking you might have had this talent, but others didn't think you did they?
Oh, you're speaking about Mrs. Stewart?
Yeah, what a nightmare.
Right. That was when I was in school, it was mandatory to take a home economics class. And the fall season was sewing, and then the spring summer season was cooking. And she threatened to fail me because I was useless with the sewing machine at the time. And we had this school project, and it was to sew this blouse that was the most ugly blouse you'd ever seen in your life. And the idea was you had to sew this blouse in the most wretched fabric and the most wretched color, and then you were going to model it in front of the entire school. And so I learned early on that if you're not motivated, you can't do anything, right? So I just wasn't motivated and was not doing well in school. And so she made me stay after school because I was, I guess, remedial with the sewing machine. And my memory there was trying to sew this blouse and her being very stern with me and accidentally running over her nail. So her nail's now caught in the sewing machine. And she paused and she just looked at me and said, "I suggest you never pursue a career in fashion."
And hello, fast forward. Did you ever get back to that lovely lady and let her know, hello, here I am?
Right. I wish she said, I suggest you never pursue a cure for cancer, because we might have that now. I was trying to prove her wrong.
Did you ever prove her wrong? And what is it about your designs that it's so important to you to make them appeal to everybody?
Well, I think I was a little bit lucky in that I grew up in the business, but on the retail side. My parents had some clothing stores in Canada, and I was pretty much at that time, I hated it because I was forced after school was really spent in the stores, and vacations were spent to accompany mom and dad on overseas trips and whatnot. But I always remember watching my mom selling to women, and at a young age, seeing women of all ages and all sizes, and literally witnessing them being transformed with clothing and understanding. I think it was always just drilled in my head, make sure you design for people. You know, 62% of American women are oversized 12. It makes sense that fashion is for everyone. So it's really important that we make it for everyone.
Well, and it's so great today that we embrace people of all sizes and we welcome seeing women of all sizes. You know, there used to be a time, you know, the thinner, the better, you know, and now people are so happy and so thrilled that beauty comes in all shapes and sizes. And thank goodness for designers like you that appreciate that and understand that and have always designed for women of all sizes.
Thank you. Yeah, we've evolved quite a bit. And I think it's always hard when you're the renegade and the pioneer for something. I was, you know, one of the first mainstream designers to go all vegan way before it was the cool thing to do. But now look at how the industry has changed. I don't think we would have ever thought that some of the old school iconic household names would be going vegan, would be getting rid of fur. And we just don't need to anymore with what we're able to create. You know, we're not living in caves.
And by the way, the vegan fashions are so beautiful. And I love the sheen to the vegan pants. I mean, they're just so great looking and so fashion forward. And I think it's so wonderful that you were so ahead of your time. How did you know back then, Dahlia, when you started? Why was it so important to you to go vegan?
Well, the basics were always motivational for me. So obviously, I never wanted to do fur, never did fur, never wanted to do, you know, ostrich or any of those things that were quite apparent. But I remember chatting with a friend of mine in New York who was fully vegan and really spent time in a lot of the vegan circles. And she had said, you know, there's no vegan designers, Dahlia. And I said, well, I don't know what you mean because I'm not doing leather and I'm not doing fur. And she had said, yeah, but you can't do silk either because, and then she explained how silk is made, which is actually quite sad because we're killing the silkworm in the process as well. So that really helped to kind of motivate me to look into it further and say, and I like challenges. So for me, it was like, okay, how can I create materials that look like silk, that feel like silk, but aren't silk? And so that kind of, you know, was the motivational factor. But then at that time, it wasn't the cool thing to do. So we didn't tell people.
Oh my goodness, you were keeping that wonderful thing a secret?
Look, the main thing is that you exact change. And I think you do it however you can, right? So at that time, people heard vegan and they thought burlap. They thought, you know, potato sacks on models. So for me, it was like, they're not going to get it. And they may actually not buy it because of that. But we're doing something good. So I kind of did the backdoor entrance, which was, here's this beautiful collection. Everyone loves it. And then we would start telling some celebrities or people that were vegan, by the way, it's vegan.
Well, again, going back to the motto you live by and what you're known for, couture with a conscience.
Right, right. And so, for example, like I started something recently and I found the same pushback. So during COVID, I went from evening gowns to hospital gowns very quickly and was producing gowns for the hospitals. And, you know, I think we all were kind of, where do you need me type of thing, because it was such an emergency. And I created a wallet that disinfects KN95 masks. But I started speaking with the hospitals and asking what they needed. And even something simple, like one of the hospitals needed these fanny packs to carry the PPE for the nurses. And as I was producing them, I got to thinking, and I said, well, where are they wearing these fanny packs? And of course, they're wearing them like just at the waist or below the waist. So basically over the reproductive organs. And I'd said, how many people are putting their phones in these PPE packs? And of course, the answer was, well, almost everyone. And I had been playing around with this Faraday-type material that blocks cell phone radiation. And you can actually measure it with an EMF reader. So it blocks like up to 85% of the radiation, but you can still get a phone call, which is, you know, and text messages, which is great. No one really was interested. I think it's like we use our phones every day, so it's things that we don't really want to think about. And so I just put it in there. I was like, I'm not even going to ask. I'm just going to do that. And be that resistance if, for example, I'm making, you know, athletic pads and it's like, oh, by the way, the pockets are lined with, you know, radiation blocking material. People don't care so much. And so it's more like, let's just do it because it's a good thing to do. And then maybe when they catch up at some point, we'll start, you know, letting them know.
That is so incredible. I want to buy a whole suit to wear designed by you when I go on an airplane. What about all the radiation we're exposed to when we're flying?
I have to sleep for a full day after flying. That's how sensitive I am. So I agree with you.
Well, you are so ahead of your time. I mean, the medical community should know about you, Dahlia. Are they aware of what you've created and the benefits?
Well, you know, thanks to some of the work that I've done, a lot more do know. But I mean, let's get the word out for sure. I worked with Children's National Hospital as well during COVID, and they asked me to do a new take on the isolation gown. So like I said, I like problem solving.
Wow. I want to partner with you on this. I think you're really on to something great. And what's amazing, your designs are so good looking. I know the Toronto Sun referred to you as the it girl in the design world. It's one thing to create something that has purpose and meaning and safety, but to be beautiful also. You just have the knack of creating these amazing designs, which is what it's all about. We want to feel great when we put something on.
Yeah, I mean, that's what fashion is really, right? I call it the superwoman cape.
Yeah.
You know, that's the idea, is that we're taking a length that's inside and shining it outside. It doesn't really matter what you're wearing as long as it makes you feel at your optimum. But of course, I mean, I always want to make it as beautiful as possible.
Who were some of your inspirations? Who did you look up to in the design world? And then I want to hear who you've worked with in terms of celebrities and people of influence.
Oh my gosh. There's so many as far as designers. I think Valentino and Oscar de la Renta a lot for the gown world. Absolutely.
I got to interview Oscar de la Renta a few times.
Wow. How was that?
Oh, the most classy, lovely, wonderful person. And, you know, I started out as a fashion reporter in my career.
Yes,
I started
that's right.
In San Francisco decades ago and got to sit down with all the greats, including Karl Lagerfeld and Halston.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And Ralph Lauren, I credit to kickstarting my career. He really gave me the exclusive one-on-one interview, which catapulted me into my first job. He really got me the job by giving me the interview. Yes.
Well, and also a little bit of symmetry there with the horse connection.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and he's all about America and the animals and the beauty of the West. And you can see I love the Southwest, and I'm wearing a squash blossom necklace now, and I live in a log cabin. And what about what you've done for animals? Talk about your philanthropic work and how you've given back and how much you care. And you're an accomplished equestrian, but you've also created something for horses that is truly life-saving. And I've got to get from you for my horses.
Yes. So, you know, my horse Wolfie, who's out in California a couple of years, he's fine. First of all, we'll start with that. But a few years ago, Calabasas was on fire and I was out of town. And I remember a friend of mine who's a news reporter who always gets the news first, texts me and says, is Wolfie okay? So I call her up. I go, what do you mean? Is Wolfie okay? Oh, what are you talking about?
What a horrible message to get, right?
Right. It was just, well, Calabasas is on fire. And so I remembered, I called the stables and I said, oh my gosh, what's going on? And it's the worst feeling when you're out of town, right?
Yes.
I said, what's going on? And they said that the fire is getting really close. It is starting to, you know, the stables are minimally starting to catch on fire. And I said, well, where are the evacuation trailers? Because we always have a plan for these things. And they said the fire department won't let them through.
Oh,
and this is common, by the way. This happens a lot.
Yes, in California, the wildfires are one of the most frightening things.
Right. So this happens often. So they said, we're hoping that they find a back road to get through. But in the meantime, we're here and the fire department is here and they're saying, hose the horses down so they burn slower or set them loose.
Oh, your heart must have been on the floor at that point.
Yeah, it was really heart-wrenching. Thankfully, the evacuation trailers somehow found a back road and then got in. So all the horses were evacuated just in time. My horse was the last one. He didn't leave, I think, because he thought he was leaving me somehow. So he was the last one to get on. But, you know, that's when the seed was planted a little bit. As they say, necessity is the mother of all invention. And then a year later was the Lilac Fire in San Diego, where hundreds of horses had to be set loose because fires were raging. I think it was the Del Mar area. And horses were killed. Other horses were severely burned and it took months to recuperate.
And here you, a clothing designer, at that point when your baby, your fur angel, could have been, you know, in a life-threatening situation, was in a life-threatening situation, thank God made it. But that's what created, that's what went off the light bulb moment in your head.
Yeah, I had personal friends on Facebook who were posting, have you seen my horse? Because the horse is now missing. And as you and I know, but a lot of public don't know, the horses that then are set loose, it's not just trying to find them and their safety and everything else. There are bad people out there that then pick them up and sell them to the auction houses to be set to be slaughtered.
Slaughter, yeah.
So I remember I was on the phone with a friend of mine and I said, how come no one's created a fully fire retardant horse blanket with GPS? And there was a pause and she goes, well, why don't you? That's when I created the EquiSafe blanket, which is a fully fire retardant horse blanket with built-in GPS. It's been endorsed by the fire chief of California and the fire captain of LA. And it's carried by SmartPak. I actually got them to order it by, I flew out and they said, we love this. We heard all about it. We know it was on the front of NBC, but we don't have room for new brands right now. And I said, no problem. I brought a blowtorch. Do you want to watch me blowtorch the fabric over my arm?
Unbelievable. Now, I hate to ask you, it's one of those things where you've created the most important thing, but you never want to see it put to use.
Right.
But has it actually been put to use and saved a horse?
Not that I know of.
That's good, because we don't want to hear about those situations.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, I think you only ever hear sometimes about the bad stories, right?
Right.
It's been purchased all over the country. And I do know various people that have contacted me saying, I put it on my horse when we put him in the evacuation trailer, which is also another use for it, right? Because this is in a worst case scenario where you have to set your horse loose. But it's also in scenarios where the horse is being put in a trailer and they're being evacuated because they could be burned from falling embers. There's also second and third degree burns that can occur from close proximity to heat.
So it's not just a blanket. You actually have a hood that covers the neck and the head, everything. It's a full body.
Yeah. And someone came up with a cheeky, you know, there's always people that kind of come out and, you know, try to poo-poo ideas. And someone said, well, how come you haven't done it, you know, for all the legs? And I said, well, first of all, I have that. You know, we could do the legs, but I spoke with enough vets and saw enough from prior circumstances of where the areas that the horse has the most pain when they're burned and take the longest to recuperate. And constantly came back was like the flanks, the top of the back, the neck. And so it was most important to me to create that first. I have something for the legs as well. But, you know, sometimes in an emergency, all you can do is throw a blanket on. And anything is better than nothing.
Well, what about, you know, I know firemen have it, but what about just in our own homes? Should we have that protective gear for humans as well? And are you developing that as we speak?
I definitely think so. So by creating the blanket, one of the important things to me was to make it affordable. And I made it very affordable. It's also environmentally friendly. So in creating the solution to make it fire retardant and environmentally friendly, I accidentally created something that like can be used as a fire retardant in the home. So it's one of my next products that I'm releasing. It's called Burnout. And it's a new take on the fire extinguisher. So if I asked you how to use a fire extinguisher, chances are you may know.
No, forget it. That's what's so scary. So I want to hear about this.
In an emergency, you know, there's so many things to think about. They have to be maintained. So this fits in something that looks like a water bottle and it breaks on impact, but it doesn't shard. And so all you have to know how to do is throw.
That I can do. That I'm good at. Wait a second. When are you coming out with this? And when are you sending me samples?
I'm going to send you samples of everything. Don't you worry.
I just love that, you know, first of all, what you're doing is just, you know, the old V8, the commercial. I should have had a V8. It's the same idea. Why didn't I think of this, right? These are such important, wonderful ideas, Dahlia.
Thank you. Well, to me, this was really also just to have something that is non-toxic. But, you know, it's funny because during COVID, I actually had some necessities delivered to me by a drone. There was a company doing this, right? And so it was the craziest thing. And I was like, I got to see how this works. This is crazy. How did they get the permission to do this and everything? And as they get closer and they're like 2 minutes away, they tell you to go outside. And then you're on your cell phone and they're like, is it over you? Is it over you? Is it over? Yeah, okay, it's over me. Okay. And they hit a button and the bag drops and you catch it. And immediately I was like, wait a second. We could take burnout and put it in large bottles and send drones out into wildfires and drop it. So that's my big dream, is to just figure out solutions for the wildfires. You know, I'm chatting with some of the powers that be to see if that's something that we should start testing and move forward with.
And it seems like, I mean, obviously fashion is first in your life, but it seems like you're really going in this direction of life-saving products, because that seems to be where your heart is, what you can do to really make a difference to save lives.
To save lives and, of course, being an animal lover, to improve animals' lives, save animals' lives, and to improve their lives. You know, I look at everything that we have for humans and how far we've come with technology. And my thought always is, why don't we make this for an animal? You know, like, they can't speak and they've given us so much. So that's, you know, one of my number one missions.
Well, tell me about the animals in your life. I know about your beloved horse. And I know you're very involved with the wonderful campaign that I also have partaked in called Seen Through Horses. Tell me all about your commitment, your compassion to all animals.
I have a new rescue now. Her name is Lily, and she's a border collie mix.
I saw a picture. Lily is beautiful.
And so prior to Lily, I had my dog, Daisy. She actually looked identical to her. So the story of how I got Lily is just kind of crazy. She just appeared out of nowhere. I don't think there's any accidents. I think our animals find us.
That's right. They really do. And each one, when you see the personality, the ones that I've rescued, I think to myself, they could have only ended up with me. It's just a match made in heaven for both of us. And I totally agree with that. But, you know, the more you're talking about how much you love your dogs and your horse, is this something that would be a full-time profession for you down the road, where you maybe design clothing for animals, not just safety clothing?
Absolutely. I already have a second division under Dahlia McPhee, and it's all for pets.
Oh, and great.
There's already products that have been released, and there are a lot more products to look forward to. Some of the products that have been released are, I came out with a dog version of the fire retardant blanket that's been released. It's called the Pet Safe Fire Retardant Jacket for dogs with GPS, because we can't forget about them in wildfires. And then I also have a heated puff jacket for dogs. So it looks beautiful, very fashionable. It's a puff jacket, but it has 8 hours of heat and it's wireless. So you can throw it in the washing machine. The only wire is the one that connects to the battery. So there's no wires. So again, no EMF running through the whole dog's body, which is great. I have a heated bed for dogs. I have a bed that has air conditioning for dogs.
Oh my gosh. I did not know this, but I'm getting all your products. An air conditioned bed?
Jill's making a list of all the samples she wants right now.
When I have seen this, is it online? The air conditioned bed and the heated dog coat?
This is a little bit stealth, to be honest with you. So I'm giving you kind of firsthand info, but it's to be released.
I would have thought, I didn't do my homework, because I haven't seen that stuff anywhere, Dahlia.
No, not yet. What I call the denim products, which are just more fashionable jackets and things like that, you may have seen. I've already released a lot of those, but the more innovative this is, you're kind of getting firsthand.
Well, I'll tell you, you are blowing me away with your intelligence, your creativity, and your knowledge, and the ability to come up not only with these ideas, but to actually create them. And you know they're making a difference for our for angels, which is so important. I'll tell you, I want to work with you on all of these things. You are truly incredible. Yes, you know, because again, I'm all about rescue and adoption, and I see what's going on in the world right now. It is so dire, and any way we can help them, any product, any message, any clothing, any story, we have to get the message out there to raise awareness so people know to get out there now and take an animal home.
Well, you know, it's so funny that you'd said that because I have a news piece coming up and they wanted to chat about the moon landing and just, you know, spring fashion and whatnot. And of course, I'm trying to tie in animals any way I can. And I'd said, you know what? Mother's Day, why don't we do a rescue pups looking for their mom? And we'll dress my models in my dresses or I now have a pajama collection. So we'll dress them in something that is current. And we'll dress the adoptable dog in something matching and try to get these animals homes for Mother's Day. Because, you know, every opportunity that we have to do something, let's do it.
That is such a great idea. Just reaching out for their next mom, you know?
Well, I remember reading this story about this cute little kid who started creating bow ties.
Sir Darius Brown. Yes, he's my friend. He's been on the podcast. I put him on my show in Dog Bowl. I've known him since he was very, very young and was a little boy, and now he's over 6 feet tall.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah,
like,
he's great.
You meant to do that. It reminds you, right? Like, you look at that and you go, yeah, like, there's so many amazing dogs that don't have homes. Try when you can, even if you're looking for a purebred, try to just put it out there to find one in the shelters, because I guarantee whatever you're looking for is out there. Or better than what you're looking for. But there's so many animals that need homes.
So many. And I try to create my own products, my toy shelter shake, which has been featured on national TV. Dogs love it. And again, it's the messaging, you know, it's shelter shake. Anytime I have a line of leashes and collars with all rescue and adoption mindful sayings, because, you know, people, when they rescue and adopt, they did it out of the goodness of their heart. They saved a life. In turn, they've been saved. But the best thing about it, you and I both know that people like to have bragging rights. You know, they like to say, I rescued that dog. I made a difference. It makes you feel good. And so my leashes have sayings like, I'm a heart melter from a shelter. I'm a pound pooch. Bless you for my rescue.
That's so clever.
So they're sporting mindful messages and people are proud to display them. They're for a good cause. Proceeds go back to helping animals in need. But I have to tell you, Dahlia, of all my guests, in terms of creativity, you are just blowing me away. You are amazing.
Can I get that sound bite? I'll take it.
You can use it, quoted by me, yes.
That makes me think, thank you.
And what you've created in the fashion world, if that wasn't enough. And then what I read about you and heard all that you're doing for animals in need and how big your heart is for our four-legged friends, I just knew that we would be bonded for life.
I agree. Yeah, no, and I think we need to create something together.
Oh, absolutely. As they say in the business, we'll talk. After this podcast, we will talk. But I'm so happy to have you here. You are incredible, what you've done, what you're doing, and really just an inspiration for not only all designers out there, but all young people listening to this, knowing what you can do, what you can create. Because in the end, it's one thing to be talented and successful, but isn't it about what we leave behind and what we do for others?
100%. I agree.
And you are really leaving your mark, let me tell you.
Thank you.
Dahlia McPhee, thank you so much for being on Rappaport to the Rescue. I have learned so much. I cannot wait to see and get all of these products for my own fur angels. And really, it was a pleasure. And thank you to all of you who have tuned in today to Rappaport to the Rescue.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.